Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I have not been podcasting much lately, but I wanted to turn this topic into a podcast that could live on under the Story Sorcery show, I guess, when someone types it into Spotify or iTunes. Welcome if you're new. My name is Geraldine. And today, I want to talk about the journey towards interdependence. And, it's interesting. I think many of you might be surprised with the way that I take this conversation, but I've been sitting deeply with this topic for almost 4 years now. And I was thinking I would do this show sort of in an interview style format, even though no one is here interviewing me, it's just me. But I wrote down some questions people have asked on Instagram specifically. And so what I'm going to do is sort of pose the question to myself, and then I'm going to riff off about it, just like, just as if somebody had me on their show. This is a really deep topic, so I'm selfishly sort of doing that format for myself because I find that's when I'm able to center myself most fully and connect inwards to what wants to be shared and what wants to move through me. And in fact, that's a big part of how I'm going to define interdependence today. So I hope you enjoy. And yeah, let's get going. So, what is interdependence? What is it? It's starting to become a topic that has a little bit more amplitude and just amplification in general across social media. And some people are defining interdependence as being the realization or the remembrance that we are all part of a whole ecosystem. And so it's the idea of moving away from our hyper independence, our focus on ourself and our own health and our own wealth and our own well-being, into this remembrance that we are really actually designed biologically, we are designed to be pack animals. Kind of like if you think about watching a nature show, me and my little girls, we tend to watch nature shows a lot on YouTube. We pull it up on our TV and we watch nature documentaries, and you'll see a pack of zebras or a pack of lions or whatever in a herd, in a pack. And if a predator comes, the herd is designed to operate and function that way because it's harder to attack a whole herd, right? It's so when you're functioning as a whole like that, there's a higher capacity for health for everyone involved. But of course, nature is nature, and you might lose a member of the pack. Death, disease, challenge is inevitable. It's a part of life. And so, when we can also honor and respect that, we are operating within that place of interdependence. But it's this reminder and it's this knowing of, like, oh, yeah, we actually want to talk about health. What's the point of solely focusing on the self or the individual when really we are only as healthy as the whole, right? We're only as healthy as the whole. And whew, that hits me. That hits me. So I know for myself, I really cracked open to this idea of interdependence when I had my third baby, because I was very blessed and my independence had created a certain level of success and financial success and stability and health for my little family of four when I had my first two children. And we were very blessed. And to be honest, I had a little bit of pride, and I mean, it's okay to be happy and proud of yourself and things like that. But I definitely had yet to go through the humbling process that I think so many are facing in these times, where we start to realize our literally our biological need to be reliant on each other. And not all the time, like some independence is good. So I want to be really clear when I'm talking about interdependence, I'm not talking about being lazy and, you know, putting our feet up and thinking like, okay, if we're here to be a part of a herd, part of a community, then, you know, we can just become manipulative or codependent, or in these cycles of lower level, lower self behavior, where we become saviors for others. That behavior, and I'll see if I have time to talk about that. That's actually one of the questions I have written down, is what blocks interdependence, and lower self behaviors actually block interdependence, right? So thinking that we can solely rely on ourselves and our own strength. I mean, that's been blasted into society for so long, and we hear about that through well-meaning, even self-help books, that if you actually trace it back, most of the great self-help books of our time, even books like Think and Grow Rich, which I studied and it was a big part of my success in business, a lot of these books were written by men. And so men are actually biologically wired much differently than women. And so again, like, women are starting to have these aha moments in the times that we're in, and they're going, whoa, hold on a second. Women are starting to become so pierced by the truth that we are actually designed to be quite open in our energy bodies. We are meant to be obliterated at times by God, by life, and His wisdom, and our feminine wisdom, and our feminine connection to our bodies and our womb and our heart. And we are not meant to strive for such independence and success. And, you know, this idea that we can be as strong as men, in some respects, sure, but we're actually not biologically designed to do the things that they do. And that the things that they can hold, men actually have a stronger capacity with respect to certain things than women. And so I think what's happening is in the times that we're in, we're able to have this conversation more so also without shame. And that's the point I got to when I had my third baby. I realized that I reached my capacity as a woman. And this is happening for so many women where, you know, you have the first baby. I see this happen all the time. Women have the first baby and they're still kind of in a little bit of that pride or that societal belief system of like, everything's fine. Like, my independence is fine. And I had this baby and I'm happy and I'm healthy. And perhaps, you know, the inevitable challenges of a newborn come up or some postpartum stuff. Of course, there's going to be some rocky moments, but a lot of women are like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? I don't require interdependence. I don't need to rely on a man. I can still work my business, have my baby, you know, do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. And then they have the second baby. And things get a little bit more challenging and they become a little bit more humbled. Even, I mean, those of you who have multiple children, you've probably recognized this in your pregnancies. It's typically the same story. The second pregnancy naturally becomes a little bit more challenging, specifically postpartum. And I think this is a big part of why women in today's Western world, especially, are not having large families anymore. Because we are so out of tune with our biological wiring that we actually can't handle it. Okay. And on the surface, it might appear like there are these complex issues of inflation and the world is expensive and things are stressful and chaotic ever since 2020. And while all of that is true, we claim to be these spiritual beings so in tune with, you know, our bodies and God or the universe or infinite potential or all of these things. And yet a woman in today's world goes and has a child or two and they're like, oh, all of a sudden they're like, and that's it. Right. And it's like, well, what happened to, and I'm not saying everybody needs to go and have these massive families, but if we really break this down, what happened to that infinite potential? What happened to the fact that women are actually wired to heal postpartum? Yes, it can take 6 months to a year. Women now in the times that we're in are having incredible birth challenges because we're out of tune with our biology. We're still giving our power away. Women are not getting postpartum support still. Women are taking 3 to 4 years to recover postpartum in some instances, or they don't ever recover. I mean, you go to a party nowadays. It just happened to me on New Year's Eve. I was at a party, and out of the 6, 7 beautiful women in the room who we were enjoying some appetizers and wine, we all start talking about our kids. And I would say about 3 or 4 out of the 7, you could tell. You could tell they were like just sort of miserable in motherhood, and I'll never do that again. And the joke is about the husbands getting the vasectomy, and like, it's not funny though. To me, we have lost so much interdependence that women, I mean, even just over the holiday season that just passed. So I volunteer, there's a local church my husband and I go to, and I volunteer in the church nursery once a month. So I'm in there with the 3-year-olds, the 2 and 3-year-olds. And I'm an observer, right? And I can pick up on energy and behavior, and it just kind of comes naturally to me. But so many moms were so exhausted and depleted, right? After the holiday season, because we do everything. We overfunction when we're not designed to in our biology. We overfunction and we do it all. And then again, you have a couple of kids and that starts to catch up to you. And so many of the moms that were coming to pick up the children after the church service were saying to one another, I was picking up on the conversations, they were saying like, oh, I can't wait for back to school. I can't wait. And wow, does that ever hit my heart? Like, first of all, I want to say I understand, and I'm holding this conversation from such a place of compassion and non-judgment. And in fact, I've been so obliterated by God and by my own awakening to this that I have more compassion than ever for women. So what I want to do here is to point out patterns that have happened to all of us in some way. This is really not an attack on women. But, you know, we have to speak truth to this if we want to be able to see the deeper layers of what's going on, right? So, interdependence is really the remembrance and the recognition in our bodies. It's a descension so deep into our bodies that we realize, whoa, we're not supposed to not only do life alone, again, by ourselves in our very individualistic homes and fenced in yards. And it's the idea that we're supposed to rely on the herd. I mean, there's so many examples of accounts on social media. This started to come into my awareness again when I had the third baby and I reached my capacity for the first time. I started to notice women who were next door neighbors, and they were building gardens together in the summer and like food sharing. And I thought, holy fuck, this is a thing? Women do this, right? Because I've only ever lived in my little fenced in yard and done my own thing. And I thought, how beautiful is that? Obviously, things like domestic support is also so, so, so helpful, but so many people, and when we allow ourselves to descend deeper into our bodies, we actually can start to see that so many people do not have the privilege to pay for a nanny, even a house cleaner, once a week. And I would even argue that all that does is maintain certain systems of hierarchy, and it helps to continue to support us in our independence. And it actually blocks us from returning to the village, is what I would argue there. And I say that because I was that woman. I was the woman who was so hyper focused on myself for so long. And many of us do this from a place of trauma. Okay. Because I was raised by a single mom and we didn't have a lot of cash and my mom never really reached her potential and my mom was divorced. Many of us have that mother wound where we watched our mom never live in harmony with her biology, never have true sisterhood, never have true relational care. I watched my mom struggle so much growing up that I decided at a very young age, that's not going to be me. And this is where many of us choose that independence. We choose to separate ourselves from God, the union and the yoking with our true feminine, which is to receive the masculine, the love of God. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And the support of really understanding how to be held and how to create in our life from that place, as opposed to creating from a circuit in our body that is holding trauma. And for some people, they perhaps never had trauma or challenge in their childhood or not a lot. They don't identify with that, but the world can also really pull us into that. The school system itself, right? You had better do this and do that and get a job and go to university and get all this debt and do it. Like the school system itself breeds performative action in order to be good enough, worthy enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're now seeing what a whole illusion that is with inflation and people not being able to afford homes and afford rent. And that problem, I want to remind everybody, is not going to go away. We are in the Aquarian age. That problem is not going anywhere. So we can shove it under the rug and pretend like it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. The purpose of the times we are in is to be pierced in the heart by God, I believe, by the infinite love of the universe, and to recognize, holy shit, we've kind of done it all wrong, okay? So I'm just taking a minute here and feeling into what I want to say next on this. You're hearing me mention the word God a lot. And I want to share this part of my story when it comes to interdependence. Because I've given examples of how we can reach for, call in interdependence in our community, in our herd, things like, people are starting to share homes with another couple or family. And I've interviewed experts about this on my podcast, by the way, and you can go back. I interviewed Sarah from Our Common Life. She actually talks all about interdependence. And she has programs for families wanting to move more towards interdependence. And she says living together is probably one of the hardest changes we can make, because we are not taught, again, how to have respectful conversations and how to be clear on certain expectations and boundaries. But if someone is committed to that, it can totally work. So she gives, Sarah from Our Common Life, she gives all of these really varied examples of what interdependence can look like more in the herd of your community. So building a garden with all of your neighbors. I think about the homeschool pod my daughter goes to. I quickly realized when I had my third baby that I did not want to put my children in the school system. We did not want to go that route. And this is when I really reached my capacity, because I thought, well, I can't, like, I physically can't do everything. I can't cook the meals and have a business on the side. So I completely let that go. And I turned it over to my husband to handle everything. I'll talk about that in a minute. Letting the masculine hold us. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that we can't have businesses or be creative, but it comes down to choice. And certain women will have a different biological wiring than other women. So if a woman wants to be a CEO, go ahead, you know, go ahead. It's just, part of coming back to interdependence is actually recognizing and admitting we are all not wired for that. And I've actually had to realize that about myself. I've been so pierced by truth. How many of you have followed me for so many years? And I was this like boss babe, you're killing it. I mean, I had one business year where I earned $500,000, you know, in take home. It was crazy. I have done well for myself for many years, only then to be pierced by God in a way that was so wild. And it made me realize like that was a good time in my life. I don't regret it because I was learning to trust God. I was learning to take risks. I was learning to step outside of my comfort zone. And in fact, I feel like if I didn't do that, I probably wouldn't have the guts to do what I'm doing right now, which is shift to a more simple life and a homeschool life with my kids. And, you know, so it's all valid. It's all valid. And having non-judgment for your journey and other women's journey is so key, everyone. It's so key, sisters. So, what do I want to say on that? This is what I do when I talk. If you're used to my podcast, I talk about this and then I go over here and then I go over there and I eventually bring it full circle. I was talking about the homeschool pod that my children go to. So I realized, oh, wow, I can't actually run a business and, you know, homeschool the kids and make healthy food because that's important to us. And it's really what my body craves and requires. So we found this homeschool pod that operates 3 days a week. And the way that they run it, I feel like, is so based on more of a interdependent communal vibe because they charge a reduced rate. So basically, you know, to send your child, if you want alternative education or if you want help to put your child in some sort of a private alternative school or even to hire a tutor, things like that, it's expensive. And that's another way that we can be kind and generous to the community is, as entrepreneurs, you might have a sliding price scale. I know Sarah does this from her, with her offerings on Our Common Life, where, you know, if you're fully resourced, here's the top tier price point. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, here's your price point. And if I do step back into the arena of hosting retreats here and there and doing a little bit of work and courses, which I do plan to do, but it's going to be like a side passion, a side creative project, a side union and yoking of just really how I'm guided to show up under the just really the grace and the provision of God, really, and the feminine that I've been so blessed to access within me. When and if I do that, I will definitely have some sort of communal option for price points. And again, I think people look at that and people who are so brainwashed to believe in hierarchies and power over, people who are brainwashed to believe that if you make not enough money, well, there's something wrong with you. You didn't work hard enough in school. You're a delinquent. Literally, people think like this. It comes down to politics too. Political leaders have brainwashed people and pitted people against each other. And interdependence is about rising above all of that and seeing our interconnectedness. And so this homeschool pod that I send my daughter to, I mean, we pay for her to go and she's out in nature all day and building, oh, I have so much gratitude, really beautiful communal relationships with a smaller group. It's not a class size of 30. There's no bullying. There's no politics. There's no insanity. And she gets to learn the basics. So we mostly do unschooling. We don't teach all subjects. We do reading and literacy. I teach my kids, you got to learn how to read and write. And you got to learn the basics of math, right? But other than that, we hold space for them to learn what they want to learn. And we trust their process. But they do all of that at the homeschool pod so that I don't have to burn myself out. And we pay a reduced rate, those of us who send our children there. And it just the kindness and the generosity of that is something that it still pierces me in the heart. Like I wake up every week and I'm like, whew. You know, and this is where when women are starting to feel stuck and lost and they don't know what to do with their kids and they don't know what options are available to them, this is where I like to lovingly guide them into an allowance of being completely obliterated by a higher power. And this is the second part of interdependence that I want to talk about. And this is maybe the part that's shocking y'all. Because when I opened up this subject on my Instagram stories a few times, I've been more so talking about things like communal care options, growing a communal garden, you know, taking care of our postpartum women, returning to a remembrance of how we're innately wired to birth and care for children and things like that. Because when we are operating in our natural biology, we don't have to recover as hard. That's just fact. So I talk a lot about that on Instagram, but for this podcast, I thought I got to go deeper. Yes, there's the tangible things about how we operate in our biology and also amongst one another in the herd. But then there's like the interdependence of letting go of society's warped beliefs that we are actually meant to do this on our own, figure it out on our own, train our mindset on our own, heal our bodies on our own, blah, 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 blah. We're not designed to do that. We're not. Especially women. We are made up of masculine, feminine polarity, and we are meant to be in union, in gnosis, in harmony with that. And I'm starting to use the word God more. It's funny because when I first came out of the closet as a spiritual teacher and a guide for women back in 2012, I used the word God a lot. And my first coaching program was called the Surrender Process. And I was literally helping women to find God, to pray. Women who had been hurt by religion, traumatized by religion. I know, I get it. I grew up in the Catholic Church where my mom was groomed by the pastor. He used to show up at our door with weird shit. Naked Madonna photos. As a little kid, I used to find it under the crawl space. And we used to go to the church for help and support and hand-me-downs and things like that. And the pastor was grooming my mom. And I know many people have similar stories or growing up in more extremist types of religion where there was a lot of shame. And so people have turned away from the church. And this is where we've also lost our interdependence. And I'm not saying we need to choose the church, but what I'm saying also is that many women have that mother wound or that father wound, where perhaps you didn't have a secure, safe connection, especially as a woman, to your dad, to your father. And so your relationship then with God, as in Heavenly Father, has been distorted. And we are being called to reestablish and reaffirm and re-yoke that union within ourselves. We are being called to remember that we are here to be held. And so I am going to use the word God in the purpose of this conversation and moving forward. If you work with me, if you come to any of my retreats or my courses, I'm going to talk about God in relation to the masculine. And like I said, I used to do that years ago and then I stopped because I got a lot of heat for it. I remember having this Facebook group for some of my coaching clients and women who followed me. And, you know, I would say like, let's just call it what it is. Let's call God, God, and not words like universe or whatnot. And a lot of women were like, F you, I can use whatever I want to use. And that's right. Of course you can. Of course you can. And I've done that too. I've used all these different words sort of interchangeably, more to be inclusive to everyone's process and everyone's path. But what feels right and most holy for me at this point in my life, especially after having 3 kids now, and especially after having completely uprooted everything I thought to be true about life and independence and parenting and God, I have to call him, him. I have to. I was also one of those women who had a little bit of a wound with my dad. I was very blessed to have a wonderful father growing up. And, you know, he was actually my still point. Things were very chaotic with my mom and at my mom's house. But when my brother and I would go to my dad's on the weekends, that's when I felt safe. I felt most safe under the provision and the safety of the masculine. And it's crazy because I see that with my girls, my three beautiful girls. When I see the way they're dad, my husband looks at them like every little girl deserves to be looked at. The way he tucks them into bed every night, he does bedtime because he wants to, you know, he's watched my capacity go down after we had the third baby and how much time I needed to heal. And, you know, he's really stepped up. God bless him. That's a whole nother conversation. And interdependence is marriage. Many people are going through metaphorical divorces in their marriage. Many women are breaking down and finally admitting, I can't do everything, I need help. So when I watch my husband, the way he looks at the girls, the way he talks to them, the way he tucks them into bed, the way he lays with every single one of them at night, he does not leave until they fall asleep. He does not release their hand. He does not, except for my middle child. So my middle child, she's so funny. We say, good night, Liv. And within 2 seconds, you hear, and she's just out. Do any of you have a kid like that? And then my oldest and youngest, they want daddy. They want hugs. They want snuggles. They want someone to lay on the floor or with them. So he does that. But how many of us had that? How many of us truly had that growing up? And it, of course, it depends on our biology and how, like, everyone has different needs or how much we required. But how many of us really had that from our father? You know, I only had my dad for 4 days out of the month. That wasn't enough for my nervous system. That wasn't enough for my wiring. It was enough to plant the seed that the masculine is really where we feel safe and secure. And I think that's why I was so open to finding God in my late 20s. It's why I had my first awakening when I fell to my knees at my job that was out of alignment with my health and my biology. And I prayed to God and I said, God, help me. I think that's why I did it, because I was blessed to have enough of that fatherly presence. So finding this interdependence with a power greater than ourselves can be more challenging, and we can act out our wounding if we have that father wound, I believe. And I've seen this with countless women that I've worked with, countless women that I've been a part of community and sisterhood with the past year in the priestess program, which I've done. And so the reason why I feel called to use the word God and specifically God the Father is I believe as women, we are aching to be held as daughters. We are aching to remember that we are not orphans. We are not meant to fucking do everything all the time on our own strength. We're not supposed to. We are first supposed to be held in the love of who we are. We are meant to be held by the masculine. We are meant to be also restored. And it's through that that our feminine, the holy mothers within us, the holy daughters within us, the holy mystics and artists and creatives, that's actually when we truly do come to life. But it's from a very sovereign place. It's from a very deeply rooted place. It's from a dharmic place. Dharma meaning our true purpose, union, yoking with God, as opposed to a karmic place where we're just walking out our wounding, pretending like we're orphans, pretending like we don't have support, pretending like we just have to figure out our anxiety, figure out our births, figure out our choices for our kids, figure it all out financially all on our own. That we're not designed to do that. So I want to share something with you on this. So to recap, interdependence can be seen, again, more as how it tangibly shows up in your communities, right? How you offer support in your community as a business owner, having sliding price scales, growing that communal garden with your neighbor, coming together and creating homeschool pods for your community. Like, those are just a few examples. There's countless. So there are these tangible ways that we operate within a herd. And then there's the actual spiritual yoking in union that I would argue is what creates that. There's the spiritual experience of cracking open so deep and being so pierced in our heart, because that's what we're wired to do as women, is to open, where God comes crashing in and teaches us more about compassion and teaches us more about interdependence and teaches us more about how we're wired to support and be with and hold one another and witness one another and be sisters in spirituality and sisters in interdependence and sisters in birth and life and death and rebirth and creation and all of it. When I felt God start to pierce my heart when I had my third child, I was guided to read the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. I highly recommend that. It talks about some of the distortions in religion. It was very healing for me. It talks about how the feminine lives in connection with the masculine. It talks about Mary's purpose with Jesus. She was there during the resurrection. She was there for a reason. And because of her femininity and her openness, she actually supported the ascension process. Reading that gospel reminded me of who I am as a daughter. It reminded me that I'm not crazy 3 days before my moon cycle when all the emotions are flushing from my heart into my womb and coming out through my cycle. It reminded me that my daughter going through the pain that she's gone through with her terrible infantile eczema is actually kind of somewhat normal. And so much of what I've learned in the wellness space about everything needing to be perfect and there being a supplement for everything and a fucking modality for everything and a this and a that. And if we do all the this and the that, you can avoid pain. You can avoid anything going wrong. My heart has been obliterated the past few years. And I've been pierced so deeply that I've been able to hold space for my daughter. I've been able to hold space for the inevitable drama that will come up sometimes. And I'm not talking about unnecessary drama that we create when we are in our woundingness. We're attached to separation. We're attached to being a victim. We're attached to manipulation because we're so afraid of God's obliteration. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the interdependence, the interweavings of God the Father, Earth the Mother holding us, God the Father, Mary, the Holy Mother that lives within all of us. I'm talking about learning about archetypes of the feminine, women who were so obliterated by God and who truly received their purpose as healers and birth keepers and community makers. That lives within all of us. And so we can pretend that we're doing that. We can live in our isolated homes with our isolated businesses and build wealth for ourselves. And I know, because I did all of that. I did all of that. And it's a really hard wake-up call when you're like, oh my God, that's not my purpose. That's not my purpose to think all about me all the time. You know, so again, interdependence for me has been two things, sort of the tangible, what's going on in the herd. How can I lean more into the herd for support and not just receive from the herd, but give back to the herd and my community? And then there's like the ethereal, the spiritual, the piercing. So I'd love to hear where you're at. I'd love to hear what part of this process resonates for you. I'd love to hear if you're healing the mother wound or the father wound. I'd love to hear if you're bringing children in and you are just being pierced by this openness, sister. You are supposed to. You are supposed to be. Don't fear it. Lean into it. Breathe into it. If you need any resources or any support, I am here for you. And like I said, I really hope to launch a retreat, open my home, actually coming up. I know y'all, if you have followed me the last few years, I've talked about doing certain things and then I don't do it or I take longer to do it. And that's because I've been obliterated by this process. And every time I go to do something, God is like, sit down. You're not done. I'm not done with you. Sit down, Geralyn. And I'm like, shit. And it reminds me of this quote. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He has been qualifying me. He has been reorienting everything in my life. He has been purifying my body and my third baby's body to an extent that I didn't even realize was a thing. I now know it's a thing. But I do know that when I open my doors to you, to all of you, to those of you who have followed me and trusted me and witnessed me, I know I will be able to hold such beautiful sacred space for you, because let me tell you, I have been qualified, purged, purified. Oh boy. And so I'm excited, and I'm going to keep sitting down as long as he tells me that I need to keep sitting down and do more inward work. And in the meantime, though, I love the conversations on Instagram. I love the DMs. I love your responses to my newsletter. Super grateful for your support. And I'd love to hear what you think about interdependence. Okay, y'all. We'll talk soon.